from TSN, Farhan Lalji, joins us once again. Farhan, how you doing, my man?
Good, Jason. Thanks for having me.
Hey, I appreciate you coming on. A busy day, I guess. Early thoughts, to me, Ottawa right now has to be the early front runner just because you get a young quarterback who can play.
Yeah, you know, but I don't know that makes them a front runner for 2016. It certainly sets them up going forward. I found it to be a curious move, not from Ottawa's perspective, but certainly from Trevor Harris's perspective, because here's a guy that I believed could start right away, or I assumed he believed that he could start right away, that his time had come, and that's why he wanted to leave Toronto, didn't necessarily want to battle Ricky Ray. It felt to me like it was a spot in Montreal that he could have walked in and started. Now he's got to go battle again for another year with the reigning MOP. I mean, you'd think that he'd have a better opportunity in Toronto next year, let alone that. I know that he was close to re-signing with Toronto yesterday, but they just couldn't get over the final hurdle. So, again, you're right. In terms of big picture long-term, it's a good thing for Ottawa. But short-term, I don't think it makes them better in 2016. And when you consider what they've lost and are about to lose, they got to get better.
Why do you think he wouldn't go to Montreal?
I just think the dollars. You know, I think there is still some school of thought that, you know, he hasn't had a big enough body of work league-wide, and he wants to hit a home run like an experienced full-time starter. And Ottawa was able to give him that for year two. He's going to make $400,000 year two, plus bonuses. And so I just don't think that Montreal was willing to go that high for him quite yet, which does surprise me, because I think they'd be better off with Harris as their starter next year over Kevin Glenn.
Oh, 100%. Kevin Glenn is a serviceable starter. He's not a guy that's going to lead you to the promised land, and is definitely on the later stages of his career. Other news, of course, Andrew Harris leaving BC, the team you've covered for a long time, going to Winnipeg. That's not a surprise. And Naylor and Lawless have been talking about that for quite some time. What do you make of all the signings today by the Bombers? Do they have any cap space left?
Well, I'm surprised they were able to get that many in. And, you know, the thing with that team is they've got very little Canadian talent. You know, they've got some pieces up front with their last couple of draft picks with Soup Chung and Matthias Goosen. And, you know, they've got some pieces there that they can build on, but they don't have a lot of Canadian talent, and they needed it as much as any other team in the league, probably more than any other team in the league, other than maybe Saskatchewan, given where their roster went to from the middle of last year onwards. So they had to make the moves. They weren't as invested in other players, especially after, you know, cutting loose a guy like Nick Moore. So they got better. I mean, you know, but I still look at some of those players. I don't think Jeff Keeping is going to be much more than a backup along the O-line, because I think they've committed to letting Goosen be the starter there. You know, is Andrew Harris a ticket sale signing, or is he a guy that's going to make them better? Now, I do believe that he can hold his own, you know, as a starter again, but I don't know that he's going to be a game breaker that's going to make their offense significantly better in and of himself, but he may allow them to get better by playing another import receiver or something along those lines. So, you know, I think Andrew can play, but, you know, I don't know that he's the back he was a couple of years ago.
Farhan Lalji joins us. Ted Laurent, from all the reports, is down to two teams, Hamilton and Montreal. And, you know, Laurent's a dynamic player. I just, you know, it's hard for interior guys to really dominate the game.
Yeah, you know, I'm surprised that that he's getting the market that he wanted. You know, I never thought anyone would come close to $300,000. Apparently, the latest offer from Montreal is sitting at $260,000. So, you know, if Saskatchewan winds up signing him, it means they paid more than that, and he was able to get close to what he thought his market value was. I agree with you. I certainly thought when the dust settled he'd get $225,000, $230,000, but I didn't think anybody would give that kind of money. But, you know, I think teams really, really value their defensive Canadian starters. That is the most valued spot in the league. You know, it's not, I mean, obviously the quarterbacks are going to get paid the most, but in terms of Canadian starters, so many teams are at 6-1 in their ratio or 5-2. So there's such a premium on defensive starting players. And, you know, I personally thought Jermaine Gabriel was going to get more than the 160 that he got, given where his career was headed. But, in Ted Laurent's case, he's a guy that's managed to stay healthy most of the time. He's past the NFL window really now, given his age. So he's an impact guy for sure. He can get an inside push, no question about it. But I still think that, or I'm still surprised he's getting that much.
Farhan Lalji joins us. Farhan, sticking with the defensive guys who are Canadian. So you got Justin Capicotti, who was with the Eskimos and then went, of course, to Ottawa. Cleon Lang and Donnie O, they call him in Edmonton. Which one of those do you think is Capocotti automatically kind of whoever loses out on Ted Laron going to go after him?
Absolutely. He's the next guy. Just with his age, his versatility along the defensive line, he's going to be that next guy. I mean, Cleon Lang is exceptional. Donnie O, I don't think, is close to that level in terms of being able to command anything. He's not in that first tier of groups. Cleon Lang, I think, is still kicking the tires on a lot of NFL opportunities, and I would bet that he signs an NFL contract. And I think Capocotti is teams are going to go hard after him, and he's waiting. Basically, his agents have basically said, we're not doing anything until we see what happens with Ted Laron, and then they're going to see where the market was and go from that point forward. I mean, you look at Saskatchewan. If they lose out on him, they must have a Canadian D-line starter. They basically said as much. They'd like it to be an interior guy, but if it can't, I think they'd be more than happy to have Cap be that guy. So, he's number two on the list for sure.
When you look at the Edmonton Eskimos, who have been very quiet thus far, I know J.C. Mm-hmm. Sherritt and his camp, they wanted to see the market and see if there was a big deal out there. I still think he comes back to Edmonton, and I feel the same about Aaron Grimes because he's more so interested right now in trying to get an NFL deal. I'm not sure he's big enough to get one. Do you see the Eskimos any other position for them to try to address, like, or if they're not getting a secondary or a linebacker, is there anyone else in free agency you see as a fit for the Eskimos?
Well, I think they need help at receiver, right? They've got two guys right now that are legitimate players in Bowman and Walker as far as their imports are concerned, and that's it. So they need another guy. Now, maybe Ed Hervey feels that third import receiver is a guy I can go out and find at a free agent camp, and that may be the case, but I could see them making a play for Makari Grant. They need linebacking help. I know Winston Venable was a guy they were really interested in, but now he's he's going to Montreal. Yeah, he's going back to Montreal. They were able to get that done. So I do see J.C. Sherritt coming back. I'm curious to see what Edmonton does with their ratio because they've got two pretty good Canadian linebackers in Adam Konar and Blair Smith. And could you see a scenario where they commit a starting spot to kind of that position on first down, on second down, and a safety on first down, right? Because I know that Mwamba and Hines shared that safety spot last year. So, you know, sometimes teams take a D lineman and a D tackle and combine them into one position. The Lions are kind of doing that with David Menard and Jabbar Westerman, where they can rotate them in depending on the down. You could do that in Edmonton with Konar and Smith at linebacker and maybe Mwamba at safety and kind of piecemeal a ratio spot that way. But they need, you know, they lost Dexter McCoy. They could lose Foster, who was their Sam. So they need linebackers for sure. And I can see them circling back to JC.
What do you make of Jeff Fuller? How good can he be?
He can be great if he ever stays healthy, right? And there's attitude questions and things like that as well with Jeff Fuller. So, I mean, he's a big physical target. Those kind of guys are hard to find. He can run. He's had some drop issues, but not, you know, it hasn't been a chronic thing for him. But his biggest thing is, can he stay healthy? And if he can, I think he's a pretty intriguing target. But I know that he also wanted to go through the NFL circuit. And all the challenge with those guys is all the guys that go through that circuit overvalue themselves when they come back. And the guys that are going to wait until March 9th with the start of the new NFL year, and I don't think a lot of these guys are going to wait that long, what's left in someone's cap for you to come back to? So you better make that decision pretty quick if you're going to be that guy. I mean, if you're Cleon Lang and you watch what's happening to Ted Laron, you better get a signing bonus and be sure of what's happening if you're going to go south, because if you're considered to be in that category of Laron and then Lang and Capocotti is the next two guys, you know, you don't want to wait too long before a team just says, we've got nothing left to pay you.
Are you hearing anything on Hines?
Very little, but I think there's going to be a market for him just given, you know, the lack of Canadian DBs available. It looks like Mike Edom is going to sign with the BC Lions, and Hines is probably the next guy on that list.
Farhan, one last one for you. Wally Bono in BC, he was able to get Rainey and Lule to remain in the fold in British Columbia. Very good sign. I think nothing wrong with having Travis Lule as a veteran backup in Case Johnson, especially after what we've seen the last few years of quarterback injuries across the league. What do you make of Wally coming back and doing both jobs? Do you think he can be successful?
Yeah, because I think he was once before, but, you know, there was a time when Wally and the BC Lions was a destination franchise, right? People wanted to come here and they wanted to play specifically for him. I think those days are gone right now. I hate saying that, but I think that's the truth. So he's got to kind of get that back, get that perception back, because now you look at a team like Edmonton and their facilities. You know, 20 years ago or even 10 years ago when Wally first came, the facility here was amongst the top of the league. Now it's probably in the bottom half. So there's a number of things that the Lions used to have to offer that they don't. Wally's got to have some success this year so people then believe again and want to come back and play for him.